All right, welcome to today's show. It is Monday the 23rd, and this is an encore show today as it was last Monday. And why is that? Because, as some of you may know, and I think I've alluded to this on the previous podcast, netcast things that we've been doing, we're experiencing a few little technical glitches here with our beautiful PreSonus board. And I have to be honest with you, this PreSonus board, which I like, but these boards are real kind of candy-ass boards. They don't last very long before they start burning up on you. And this one has been with us for 2 years. Now, we burned up a PreSonus board a year for a while there. Some of you may remember, I would walk into the studio and it smelled like, you know, there'd been a fire. Anyway, this board is beginning to give out on us. And so we have, for instance, our mic fader is giving out a whole bunch of technical stuff that would only serve to irritate and upset you. So what we're going to do is we're putting in a new board, and today we're going to be airing for you this great encore show from the 23rd of March, 2018. Now, this show was a show that included a pre-show and a show together because there'd been a power failure at the house. And so what I did was I recovered both of these shows and I played back both shows as one. And we'll see how this goes. We'll see what it sounds like. I'm not even clear. I don't even remember with any specificity what the show is about. But it does include Margaret's original run at a review of the National Enquirer, which may or may not be worth it for you. So this is actually episode 1121. I think we're up around 16. So this is like 500 shows ago plus. Back in 2018. By the way, I want to just mention on my Facebook friends page today, I posted a notice about Jackie and I staying up and watching a couple of movies together on Saturday night on the phone. I mean, this is all we have is this connection because she's in South Florida, I'm here in LA, and how much fun it was. And I saw a comment by Bob Green, who was my first of all, Bob Green is the inspiration for the Bob Green character we do from Frasier's Foods. And Bob Green is actually a real guy. He was my general manager in Miami. He's one of the greatest radio executives. I think he's singly the greatest general manager I ever worked for because he was a guy in management who actually liked talent. And that may sound strange to hear, but you'd be surprised how many people in the management world of radio never really did like talent. And so Bob was always a great guy to go to work for, and he was in there commenting, so I did definitely, you know, give him a shout out and tell him I loved him, and you know what a great genius he was, and I want to thank everybody for your comments. You know, I will tell you, I didn't want to make a big ass deal out of it, but you know, I'm pretty happy these days, even with all this shit that's going on in the world, man. Even with all this, I just know that we're going to pull it together and we're going to pull ourselves out of this and we're going to have the things we want in this world, no matter what it is you want, man. This is just the larger world sort of intruding and enveloping us with its shit. I'm sure you understand. So with that having been said, all of that heavy stuff, let's get to this show from March the 23rd of 2018. A pre-show and a show combined. I have to give you a warning. The video cast is going to be very short because the video cast I didn't really know what I was going to do. So it's going to be a very short video cast, maybe only a few minutes. But the entirety of the show, of course, is on the audio track that you can download. Let's see. I will have an audio track of a pre-show, but not that. Never mind. I'll explain it. Okay, kids, here it is. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show for March 23rd of 2018. Hi, it's Phil Hendry. Wednesday night, as we were preparing our show, we had a massive power failure and our studio went down. It crashed. And that lasted for the course of the time that it lasted for. And then we discovered, like, after the power came back on, that all of our equipment, all of our studio was basically, like, not working right. It's kind of like, it's like if you came out of a coma, would you be, you know, ready to drive a car? Probably not. That's sort of what happens to a studio when everything goes into default and you have to reset levels, things like that. So what I thought I would do, quite simply, was we were able to recover that portion of the show that we had recorded. And that means we recorded our pre-show and then we recorded a part of the show itself. And then the power failure happened. So what I thought we'd do is play it for you. And this will be a rare instance where the pre-show, originally intended for our backstage pass members only, is something that we will freely allow you to download so you can hear sort of how stupid I sound when I'm prepping the show, talking to myself, talking to the BSPs, etc. And then we'll go into the show. So you'll hear the whole thing as one continuum, you know. And you'll hear it as it happened. So here it is. Our originally intended for Thursday show for today, Friday, the 23rd of March. Oh, man. Sam Darnold participates in USC Pro Day. What is that? Come on out and see our football players, huh? 22 turnovers and 13 interceptions, 9 fumbles lost. Is this kid a freshman? I don't remember. I took Nick to orientation. Ow, God damn it, I just bit my motherfucking tongue. My oldest stepson, I took him to orientation. He went to USC. And I was impressed because I grew up, you know, hearing all about USC. I mean, you grew up in Southern California. That's one of the two major universities. UCLA is the other one. USC is always looked upon favorably because of its private status, you know? And anyway, it was pretty hard. It was hard to dismiss the spirit of the school, and the alumni was out, and the USC band, they were orienting the freshmen coming in. They wanted to give them the whole USC treatment, right? And faculty members spoke, and famous alumni spoke, and the goddamn band, the USC Trojan Marching Band came out. And then we went to the business school. USC is a business school. It's a pretty good business school. I'd say out on the West Coast, it's considered the West of the Rockies, whatever you want to call it. Because, you know, everybody knows about Harvard and stuff, but SC's business school is very good. And went to that, and then sort of checked the neighborhood out, you know. It's downtown. It's south of downtown. I you know, there's really good restaurants within walking distance, and I don't know why I'm saying any of this shit. Why am I saying this shit? Who cares about USC? Fuck them. Just half kidding there, guys. I didn't go to college because I didn't want to go to college, and because I love my friends and many people that I respect, but I haven't seen a big difference between people that I respect who didn't go to college and people that I respect who did go to college. And in some instances, there are people who went to college who are the dumbest motherfuckers I ever met in my life. And people who didn't are the savviest. And frankly, I'm more successful than a lot of my friends who went to college. So I don't know, you know. Because I noticed that that's the last thing somebody's got to hang over your head. You know, you didn't even go to college. Right, you know. But then again, you did, and look where you are, you know. I think college is fantastic for people that are still trying to find out what it is they want to do, or because of what they want to do, they have to get that level of education. If you want to be a doctor, you got to go to college. If you want to be a fucking radio personality, you don't have to go. You have to do shit. Rush Limbaugh is a college dropout. Sean Hannity is a college dropout. So, you know, forget about their politics. Those motherfuckers didn't finish school, all right? So, give me a break. Ducks 2, Flames nothing in Calgary. Up there at the Saddle Dome, or whatever the fuck they call it. Right? Man, that's way up north, isn't it? Calgary, Canada. Christ, it gets cold up there. One thing I noticed about Calgary, the advertisers they have on the boards there, lots of pizzas. Lots of pizza places. Papa John's is another one there. There's another one there. Boston Pizza. Okay, so that's a third pizza place. Tim Hortons. Tim Horton was a hockey player for the Maple Leafs, I think. And Tim Horton met a strange end on a freeway outside of Toronto. If I'm not mistaken, there was a police chase going on. He got out of hockey, retired, and started these businesses, right? You hear the name Tim Horton, you think, oh, that's a restaurant, right? Well, it was a guy, it was an actual guy, and Tim Hortons I see. I still haven't found an actual biography of Tim Horton. There's Tim Horton's The Joint. What about the fucking guy, huh? Here we go. By hockey player Tim Horton. He died in 1974. He was born in 1930. So he died at the age of 44. Tim Horton, Miles Gilbert Tim Horton, was a Canadian professional ice hockey player, a defenseman for 24 seasons of the National Hockey League, until his death following a single vehicle crash in 1974 at the age of 44. He played for the Toronto Maple Leafs, New York Rangers, and Pittsburgh Penguins, and Buffalo Sabres. In 2017, Horton was named one of the 100 greatest NHL players in history, also a successful businessman. Horton was the co-founder of Tim Horton's restaurant chain. He was always prominent. Every time my uncle sent me the Maple Leaf calendar, you know, because my uncle, George, wanted me to be a hockey fan, and I was. And there was Tim Horton. He remained a Leaf until 1970, winning 4 Stanley Cups. Horton later played the New York Rangers. Ding, ding, ding. Christ, he played in his 40s, like a lot of hockey players do. See the way he shuffles his feet. Horton was killed after losing control of his De Tomaso Pantera sports car on the Queen Elizabeth Way, the GEW, in St. Catharines, Ontario, the early morning of February the 2nd, 1974. He played a game in Toronto the previous evening against his former team, the Maple Leafs, and was driving alone back to Buffalo, 100 kilometers, about 160 kilometers to the south, 100 miles to the south. The Sabres had lost the game despite sitting out the third period and playing with a John ankle injury. Horton was selected one of the game's 3 stars. Horton's Pantera had been given to him by Sabre general manager Punch Imlach as an enticement to return to the team for one more season. On his drive to Buffalo, Horton stopped at his office in Oakville and was met there by Ron Joyce. While there, Horton phoned his brother Jerry, recognized that Tim had been drinking and tried to persuade him not to continue driving. Joyce also offered to have Horton stay with him. Horton chose to continue to drive to Buffalo. But when you got friends like that, you know, you can't talk them out of it. Jesus. At 4 a.m., a woman reported to the Ontario Provincial Police in Burlington that she observed a car. Let me see this, man. When they say he'll never be any good. A woman reported to the Ontario Police, Provincial Police in Burlington, that she'd observed a car traveling at a high speed on the GEW. A warning was broadcast over police radio. 30 minutes later, OPP Officer Mike Gula, observing a speeding vehicle traveling Niagara-bound of the GEW in Vinland, Gula activated his siren, attempted to pursue Horton's vehicle, but lost sight of it. Horton passed a curve in the road at Ontario Street and was approaching the Lake Street exit in St. Catharines when he lost control and drove into the center grass median, where his tire caught a recessed sewer, which caused the car to flip several times before it came to a stop on its roof in the Toronto-bound lanes. Not wearing a seatbelt, Horton was found, 123 feet from the car. Pronounced dead, 123 feet from the car. 40 yards. 40 fucking yards. Right? No, that's wrong. Yeah, no, 40 yards. Subsequent to Horton's death, there was no official public inquiry, and his autopsy was not made public. Police would not state if Horton was driving drunk. In 2005, the autopsy was made public, with witness statements redacted, and revealed that Horton's blood alcohol was twice the legal limit, and that a half-filled vodka bottle was amongst the crash debris. Horton was also in possession of drugs, dexedrine, dexeril, and traces of amobarbital. An ingredient in dexabel were found in his blood. The autopsy, speed and booze. He probably dropped the speed so he could drive home. He probably thought he was fine to drive after he dropped those dexies. Said, okay, I'm good. Autopsy found no painkillers in Horton's body. Also concluded that his car had been in good working order. There was nothing to suggest Horton was evading police. Oh, okay. Or that police got near enough to initiate a criminal pursuit. Horton was interred. Oh, okay, so that's different from what I heard. Married in 1952, he left a wife, the former Lori Michalik of Pittsburgh, and 4 daughters. How about that? Ron Joyce, offered his widow $1 million for her shares in the chain, which included 40 stores. She accepted. Years later, Lori became dissatisfied with Joyce's offer and filed a lawsuit against him. In 1993, she lost the lawsuit. An appeal declined in 1995. She died in 2000, the age of 68. Tim and Lori were survived by four daughters. Well, you know, in retrospect, you know, fuck, I got fucked. And you know how the guy did it, too. He says, you don't need the trouble now. You've lost your husband. You're, you know, this is a terrible time. Listen, I got a deal. I'll give you $1 million. Just give me the shares, you know, and you divest yourself of this goddamn thing and go off and relax. Now, in 1974, did they say shortly after the crash? Following Horton's death? Now, this isn't exactly, this is not an exact science, but just in terms of inflation, $1 million in 1974 would be about $5,336,000 today. So that was the equivalent in 1974 of having $5 million. Having $5 million today is, however, is not the same thing as having $5 million in 1974. What I mean by that, being equal. So $1 million is $5 million in 1974. Today it's $5 million. But to have $5 million in 1974, or $1 million as it was then, probably bought you a lot more than $5 million would buy it now. They say now you need $10 million to retire. You should have $10 million in the bank to retire. Now, I realize that that's it's out of the question for a lot of people, but even though inflation was very high in those days, I could have danced all night. That's my feeling, you know. Not that I could have danced all night, but that that $5 million in 1974 buys you more than it does now. So, you know, it's not an exact science, this whole thing of, wow, you mean that, and that's how much it is today? You know, if you think about it, $1 million in 74, $5 million now, $5 million ain't a lot of money. It's just, I hate to break the news, but it ain't. $5 million ain't a lot of money. I mean, I wouldn't mind having $5 million just like that. You know, liquid be fantastic, but it's just not. It's not, you can run through that shit fast. See the way he walks down the street. Da-da-da-do. One of the crowd. My guy. Oh. Saccone just, Saccone, he conceded to Connor Lamb. What's funny about that is somebody said today, well, he finally conceded. Shit. They don't know what Michael Flynn's told the government, Trump's attorneys. That's what they say about Trump's attorneys, the prosecutors, or the people speculating about this case, about Trump and the whole Mueller thing. They don't know what Flynn said. That'd be easy enough to find out. Does Flynn strike you as the kind of guy to keep his mouth shut? He strikes me as the kind of guy who, you know, worries about being in jail, but he's also pissed off about what's happened to him, and he'd like nothing better than to fuck the prosecutors right up the ass. Now, would he do it? Would he talk to them? Would he actually, you know, have some contact with Trump's attorneys? Because it's kind of a stupid thing to do, but then, I don't think, personally, I don't think Flynn's the brightest fucking bulb in the tree anyway. The fuck? 5 seconds into the job, the son of a bitch got himself fired, and now he's in all kinds of legal shit. How fucking dumb is that? He's my guy. All right, man.
Yes, hello.
I thought the character I did of the Navy commander yesterday was pretty good, but...
Yes. Hi. Yes, hello. Thank you. No, it's the...
But it slipped out of character, and it really didn't... It never really had a character. It had a voice, but it... There was character to it, but there was a... Could have been better.
Tom Benson was one of our great... he was certainly... Tom Benson was one of our great... He was one of our great owners in the Professional Football League. The National... Excuse me, but I had a late dinner. And I'm bereaved. I'm sad about the passing of Tom Benson, but I also had to eat.
I understand.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Because I was taking a lot of shit from my wife about it.
Hey, did Belichick play football? I think I've seen pictures of him in football gear. Bill Belichick. And is he my age? Or is he younger? He's a little bit younger than me. No, wait. He's the same age as me. Belichick just turned 65, I think. Let's see.
Hey, he's a rebel.
John Randall. Let me see here, man.
That's the way he shuffles his feet.
Well, this is Margaret Gray, and welcome to Margaret Gray's National Enquirer special, and welcome to Margaret Gray's National Enquirer on National Enquirer Review. And from time to time, we review stories in the National Enquirer for their accuracy, for their acumen, for their information, and so forth. Let's start with this headline here, right at the front of the magazine. Trump family escapes death, how the Secret Service saved them. And when you look into this article, you realize that it is a collection of stories, half-concocted bullshit.
Mexican getaway, yeah. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Is that woman still around? Jesus H. Christ. The wannabe parents can't afford costly fertility. Oh, my God. Sources. Are you kidding me? I don't know, man. J. Law takes a swipe at her own Oscar.
When they say...
Well, we're creeping up on it here, man. What if I just ad-libbed like 30 minutes, just didn't know where I was going with it? That might be a fun thing to do. And then again, it might drive me nuts. Let's see. Might be the toughest thing in the world to edit.
See the way he walks down the street. That's the way he shuffles his feet. When he holds my hand, I'm so proud. Then I know that I'm not too loud. Hey, then he.
Here we go. Nice try. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Welcome away to our show.
So you're going to be doing the announcing from now on?
Not really. You said there wouldn't be an announcer. We would just kind of fall into it.
Get to your service, Henry.
Okay, what about it?
Well, you just went, welcome to the show.
Yeah, you're saying welcome to the show violates a certain confidence we had in, okay.
Take it easy, Margaret, will you? Margaret, you get really high on your horse, don't you?
I don't get high on my horse. I'm following up on something the men.
I'm just kidding.
So, I've got the Enquirer here.
But you brought in the National Enquirer, how come?
Because, not that it's any of your business, but...
Well, it's everybody's business, Margaret.
All right, but I just don't like... I'm about to talk to Phil about this, Bud, and you jump in with...
Wanna find out?
I'll ask the questions, Bud. So what?
What do you mean, so what? I'm talking to Margaret, okay?
He's talking to Margaret. I know, but he says, so what?
No, I agree with Robert. It's very rude.
In other words, what do you want to tell me about the National Enquirer?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, it's better. It is better.
Will you tell me what you want to tell me?
All right. The National Enquirer is out, and there's a few stories I'd like to comment on. The first one that I want to comment on is a little bit of folderol. You know, I understand the publisher of the National Enquirer is, as a lot of the kids would say today, and a lot of slobs and bums, is, so forgive the language, is asshole tank.
Well, Margaret, if they're slobs, why would you say it? Exactly.
I use the Margaret Mumble-O.
Yeah, but still, I can tell you're saying.
You can tell what I was saying.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, what?
Yeah, what's the point then? I use a Margaret Mumble.
A lot of the slobs and creeps, I'm not going to be put off. A lot of people who use vile language will say that the publisher and of the Enquirer and Donald Trump are
Butt Buddies.
Why would you do that, Phil?
First of all, butt buddy means something completely different from asshole tight, okay? You want to say they're very close?
Well, that sounds like it's almost a gay thing.
What do you think butt buddy means? As long as we're being stupid.
Stupid?
God, Mr. Henry, that's pretty...
Wow, get him, will you?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Mr. Henry.
No, get out of here. What? So, in other words, they're tight friends, right?
Yes, but I was going to use the colloquial filthy slob barroom term until you turned the whole thing even worse than that. Now,
yeah.
Now the story is, according to this rag, the Trump family escapes death, how the Secret Service saved them. And the Inquirer says that they have certain documents. Well, no, they don't. They said certain documents were leaked to them. That would mean, if it was true, the Trump family leaked them, and they would be far more specific. In fact, they wouldn't give it to the Inquirer. Donald Trump would leak it himself.
Now, why would you say that?
I say that because Donald Trump's ego would not allow, even though he's very tight with this publisher.
By the way, what is this guy's name?
I don't know, Phil. You know, Tad Winston.
No, you're making that up.
I know I'm making it up. You want a name, right?
I'd like the real name.
I don't have it, Phil. I'm using the National Enquirer publisher, Tad Tadley. Is that fine?
No, no, it's not.
Well, then forget it. Okay, if you're going to laugh at it.
Well, Margaret, what the hell's the point? Tad Tadley.
He wanted a name.
I'd like the right name, but it doesn't matter. So the National Enquirer publisher and Donald Trump are so tight that Donald Trump passed him secret documents that say that a helicopter had been tampered with that the Trump family was on, and that this is terrorism, and wow, you know, the Secret Service did a great job.
Yes.
But you say that's horse dung.
It is absolute horse dung, and all you have to do is use the power of deduction. First of all, if indeed there were documents leaked to the National Enquirer from the federal government, it was most certainly at the, not only the behest of, with the approval of, and with the very exuberant, godspeed from Donald Trump.
No, now you say that because...
Because Donald Trump's ego would certainly want this out there if it could be put out there without him having his own rear end twisting in the breeze. You see?
Well, I mean...
No, twisting in the breeze.
Margaret, we get it.
Well, I want to make sure everyone's, you know, on target for this.
Okay.
You just said okay.
Okay, Margaret.
All right.
Well, Miss Gray, I'm very interested.
All right, Robert. So, number two, Donald Trump's ego is such that I don't think he would just turn this over to the National Enquirer. If this were true, Donald Trump himself would be on the record talking about it. You see? So, in other words, what Donald Trump doesn't understand, and what maybe you don't understand, Phil, and a lot of people don't understand, is the psychology of this man is so easy to read that you can predict what he's going to do. See?
Right. All right, so you predict that Donald Trump, in other words, it's impossible that this even happened?
I don't think it did. Is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. But I give it 80-20 that it didn't happen.
Well, that's interesting. So, and that's based upon the fact that you think...
The fact that I not only think, the fact that I know. If the I was going to say the royal family, what's the difference, right?
No comment for me.
Oh, come on, you guys.
You said royal family because you have it open there to a page. Is that Prince...
That is the prince, yes. That's Prince William and his lovely, lovely, beautiful bride, Princess Sububu.
So you don't even know the prince? God damn, Margaret.
Oh, give it a rest, will you?
What's the princess's name?
I don't have it at the tip of my tongue. It's Princess Glaguni. Here it is, Kate.
Glaguni? You think that's respectful, huh?
But, Miss Gray, if you don't know the name...
And it was at that point that we had our power failure. All systems crashed. And I mean, it got pitch black in the studio. Pitch black. Found my way using the flashlight on my phone, found my way out into the street, and noticed that every single building on the street was dark, so the whole block was without power. Now, we've had a lot of rain here in California over the last number of days. It could have been that. It could have been the fact that the utilities out here are often on, off, because it's one of the oldest parts of the beach here. And, of course, we did have a massive power failure back during the Thomas Fire. However, that was the entirety of what we recorded before the power went out on Wednesday night, and we wanted you to have it, to hold, to treasure, and to cherish for all the live long day. I really appreciate you guys hanging with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We endeavor to do our very, very best for you and yours. We encourage you to get a backstage pass, which is a subscription to our website. And why do I say that? Because whether or not our podcast is viable, whether we have a power outage, whatever, we've got 35,000 hours of material going back to our radio show days, over 20 years. Miami tapes are coming in every day. New LA tapes are coming in every day. So even if we have this rare hiccup here, even if the present times let us down, we can always go back to those days of yore. Of your what? I don't know. So that's kind of how it all happened the other night, and that's how it's happening here tonight, here on this, or this afternoon, or this morning, here on this Friday. So just a quick reminder that tonight we do have for you and yours, we have our Backstage Pass chat. So if you sign up for Backstage Pass, you can join us at the BSP chat. That starts at 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern. And when you do, give us your zip code. We can put you on our BSP map, and you're off to the races. We also have on Saturday our Saturday Cinema. And Saturday, check out our Periscope account. It's just Phil Henry on Periscope. Or you can check out Facebook Live, because we are going to be in the March for Your Life march in Ventura County. We thought about going down to LA, but you know, our neighbors are up here in Ventura County, and we want to march with them. That'll be on tomorrow. I don't know what time it starts in the morning, so it will be afternoon, mid-afternoon back east. All right, that's as political as I want to get on that. And we bid you a fondue. Famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.